Recorded live.
Episode of the virtual talk show produced by Married Men Don't Talk, the talk show with the top-selling book and an app for your Android smartphones. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple of rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, fellas, this ain't Bible study. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The virtual talk show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is everybody marries the wrong person. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot and a ventriloquist for the evening, but more on that later. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so, or if you prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end, because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. From childhood, fellas, our minds are saturated with the traditions of conventional wisdom. But for most of us, conventional wisdom about romantic relationships actually guarantees marital dissatisfaction, as the brother was talking about before we started the show. So, first question, I'm going to start it off. Do y'all believe that there's a right person for everybody? Do y'all believe that there's a right person for everybody?
Can you define that?
Like my man have a day.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's somebody for everybody. That's the only way I can define it.
First of all, I'm glad to be back.
You're welcome, brother. I
say that there eventually is somebody for everybody. Because when we start off, it's not always that way. Or we hit a couple of bumps along the way and we realize, wait a minute, we need to recheck some stuff.
Anybody
you know, the
add
reason I
that?
Ask that is I hear some people that say, you know, there's a person made for me, and I'm going, you know, I'm going to wait to find them. And I don't agree with that. I don't believe that notion, like God made a person for me, and I'm just going to find that person. Usually it's the whack job religious nuts like that.
But nobody wants to marry the wrong person. You know, in fact, most of us are determined to marry the right person. But aren't we blinded by love during the process of finding that quote-unquote right person?
That's the hook to get you through the tough times.
Man.
After that, what would you have?
Yeah.
Because research shows that infatuation causes us to overfocus on what we like about someone and to overestimate estimate compatibility. So as time passes, do y'all think that people actually start discovering how incompatible they are?
You know, in my case, I'm going to talk, you know.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I done pulled me a little drink of Hennessy now. In my case, yeah, you know, I know exactly what I got. I mean, I know exactly what I got. You know, I've already been through one marriage, so I knew what I got. And I knew, so there was no surprises. The only thing was that could I deal with it, you know, in doses, if that make any sense. Like, you know, every day you got to take aspirin. Somebody tell you that, okay, cool, I can take aspirin every day. But then on the second day, they tell you, well, no, you got to take 10 of them. Then on third day, tell you got to take one. Fourth day, tell you got to take 100. They're like, well, wait a minute. All I thought I was doing, you know, I was just taking one aspirin. You know, I know I'm taking the aspirin. I know that hasn't changed, but now it's just the quantity of it, man. You know, that's what's getting me right now, man. She just really getting on my nerves. And I already knew, I already know, you know, what I signed up for. But, man, it's right now, man, we just ain't, hey, I ain't feeling it.
But
if that make any sense.
That makes sense, brother. And, you know, regarding infatuation, do y'all think that infatuation is temporary?
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, is it, I don't know how, I mean, somebody was saying something. Go ahead. You think infatuation is temporary?
I think that's the emotion that gets us hooked. Okay, and you know, that first, you know, 6 to 18 months, we're in that infatuation period. The problem is, some people think that's love.
Mm.
And when that passes, they think, I just fell out of love. But that infatuation is the part that gets us interested to get to the point of developing true love.
Yeah, and the harsh reality of significant differences, it produces disenchantment and negative reactions. But aren't we misled by myths and misconceptions about this thing called marriage? Aren't we misled by myths and misconceptions about marriage?
Yeah, that happens all the time. And it's really easy to spot people who've been misled by the myths of marriage. Just like in the movie, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin Hart's character, he getting ready to go through a divorce and he's still paying on the wedding. You know, you find a lot of people like that, you know, they, the only time they had a good time was at the wedding. After that, you know, now it's time to get a divorce.
Mm.
You know, that's just what happens nowadays. I mean, people just, you know, a lot of women, they just live for the wedding. You know, the wedding just one day.
Got that right.
Yeah, that's after that, come the torture and the slavery. I mean, it's rough. I mean, you got to pull a stone up a mountain, and it only gets heavier, and the mountain only gets steeper. That's what marriage is.
So, brother, you're saying that disenchantment is inevitable at some point. You're disenchanted tonight.
Yeah, like right now, like me. You know, I used to be the dude, you know, Mr., you know, I love my wife, all that, you know, take her out and everything. Hey, that dude right now today, because we're going through a rough patch. Now, I know we're going to get through it. You know, I done already gave it to God. But if I could only just get her to just shut up about it, and, you know, I can go on and, you know, start, you know, bouncing back. But, you know, y'all know how women are. They don't hush. They got to keep running their mouth. So that's what they do.
So you said before that you already know what you married. So what's the longevity of this fact? A couple days, is a week?
No, this right here is about a couple of days, because I know how long it takes my wife to hush about something.
Right. See, that was like, you know, the question is, you know, talking about, you know, if you married the wrong person or whatnot. And you, to me, like you said, I mean, I'm on my second marriage too. I don't think I want to marry somebody like me. You know what I mean? I need to have somebody that brings something to the table. You know, something different than me. And that's where you come with the compromises in the middle. You know what I'm saying? I don't want somebody directly like me, because I'm a Gemini. That just ain't, that forehead ain't gonna crack.
Good words, good words.
But even if you marry somebody not like you, don't y'all still disagree? Wouldn't you say there's still a chance of disagreement?
Oh yeah. I mean, that just, man, that's in the territory. I mean, you can't ask somebody who's been married 50 years if it's been, you know, happy-go-lucky the whole step of the way. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's a rarity. You know, there's going to be those indifferences. You know, how you come out of it is what you build from. You know what I'm saying? So, that's inevitable, man. You know, some people may fight just to see what they're going to, you know, how they're going to come out of it. You know?
Yeah.
Do y'all think that we base our expectations of marriage on an old way of thinking and conventional wisdom?
Not in these days.
Yeah, these days it ain't everything go, man. You got dudes trying to marry dudes now, man. I mean, you know, strange times. Conventional wisdom, man, you know. We do. You know, I think we all try to infuse some of conventional wisdom, you know, but at the same time, you know, everybody's different and everybody's raised different. I mean, you know, you know, you might meet your woman and she's, you know, she's an opposite and she compliments you, but at the same time, she may have some ways that are not as conventional as yours, you know. And, we've allowed that to kind of, you know, it's kind of like hold on to the ride right now, Rodney. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, brother.
I kind of think that'd be based on what the environment you were raised in also. You know, if you were raised in an environment where it was, how shall I say, not so peaceful all the time, then you have a tendency to look for something that's the opposite of that. And if you were raised in the Bill Cosby family, you have a concept of this is the way I want my house to be, and come to find out it's not all peaches and roses when you get there.
Exactly. You know, I was raised in the Bill Cosby household, and, you know, my mom and dad are still married, and, you know,
right. For
that fact, I stayed with one fool a couple of years longer than I should have. And to make, you know, simply based off of that fact, you know, there was something unknown to me. It was something that I'd never really seen up close. You know, a divorce, that just doesn't happen.
And see,
you know, then when it happened to me,
on,
it was like, oh, wow.
Right, and you studying was based on conventional wisdom. You know,
right.
Hey, this is the way it's supposed to be. We're going to make it through this.
Exactly.
You know, not looking at what the situations were.
And instead of blowing 7 years, I blew 9.
How can we expect
with all three of her personalities at 3 years?
but how can we expect, fellas, an unconventional result of marital success by following this conventional wisdom? How can we expect an unconventional result by following conventional wisdom? Does that even work?
Well, one more time.
Yeah, I don't understand.
How can we expect, by following conventional wisdom, you know, as you said, we do follow a little bit, some more than others, but how can we expect an unconventional result out of that, of marital success, if we're following these old models and everything? You know, if we're basing it on the, you know, the conventional that really, we saw that really didn't work that well. So how can it's like the definition of insanity. You know, you do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result.
Right. Well, I don't think you can base it on, you know, you can't really base it on what was, because everything has changed. What was when you were married, you expected for marriages to last until it was over. You know what I mean? I mean, when I watched my grandmother, my mother, and my great grandmother, they were married their whole lives. Divorce wasn't an option. Now, divorce is just another word in the regular language. You know, so it's all changed to where we used to put up with certain things. Now, there's no patience with it. So, you know, you can't really look at it that way, because when we look at relationships the way that they used to be, you know, it was a certain level of loyalty and obedience to each other that was there. That's not there anymore.
Hmm. So conventional wisdom is kind of outdated, you would say then?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. Conventional wisdom says I want a marriage that, you know, when I get in this thing, I'm in it for the long haul, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to make it. Well, that's what I would like to have, but is it always like that? I mean, my marriage I have now, it is way different than my marriage I had at first. But it took some time, some battles, some falling down, some getting back up, some compromising to get to where I am today. I mean, people see me today and they would, you know, you go back and talk to friends of mine from that knew me 10 years ago and they would say, man, we didn't think by a long shot that you guys would still be together.
Mm.
So it's more or less, it's built on that determination of both parties too.
Yeah, because you got, I mean, we got to watch that conventional wisdom because old thinking misleads us.
Right.
You know, but has anybody ever heard of the book Freakonomics? Has anybody ever heard of the book Freakonomics? You heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to those who haven't, Freakonomics is a book written by Stephen Levitt, who's an economist, and Stephen Dubner, who's a writer. And it's a book about cheating teachers, bizarre baby names, self-dealing realtors, et cetera, et cetera. And the book has sold 4 million copies in 35 different languages.
Yep.
And in this book, the authors describe conventional wisdom as something guaranteed to mislead, since it's a web of fabrication, self-interest, and convenience, and not necessarily true. So, do y'all think that we're living by failed marriage models? As our examples, do you think we're living by failed marriage models?
I wouldn't exactly say that.
I mean, what I mean is that has a marriage model just been imposed on us over the years?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, but then again, that depends. I mean, give me an example of a model marriage, Rodney.
Well, let me back up, and what I'm talking about is that do we hold fundamentally wrong beliefs about relationships?
Fundamentally wrong. What did you say again?
Do we hold fundamentally wrong beliefs about relationships? You know, meaning, why do you think people go on believing things that aren't true about marriage? Somebody got some background noise here.
I'm going back outside.
Oh, okay, that's you.
All right, now.
So what I mean by that is that why do you think people go on believing things that aren't true about marriage?
Well,
I mean, they can be true. I mean, it just depends on how much you believe.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people come into a marriage believing that when you know you get married, you know, that person's never going to change, and that person that you're dating at the beginning, you know, or whatever you're engaged to, they are never going to change. You're always going to be the way you are, and you will live happily ever after. You know, there's no hint of real life ever happening. And when real life happens and people change and people react differently as time goes by, then that's where the issue comes up. Like I said, a lot of people just consider marriage the day, and that's it. It's only the day. The wedding.
You know, and then, too, it's a flip-flop on that, too, because sometimes you have those individuals that had the idea when they go into a marriage, I'm not worried about it. I can change this person to what I want them to be.
Exactly.
And that's the big mistake that we run into is that we look at the individual, we look at what we saw growing up, if we liked what we saw, we figure we could make it work. Well, you can't make somebody else change. You can only change yourself. And that's where our problems come in at, is that we're so busy trying to change everybody else in our relationships, we forget to look at ourselves. And if it's something that we're doing, that if we change it ourselves, that'll possibly cause them to change some things.
I also believe, too, that, you know, for a belief in, you know, marriage or a person's belief in marriage or lack thereof, has to deal with a lot of people, you know, there's too many people in their circle, you know, seeking advice out. You know what I'm saying? Seeking advice from friends or family members instead of, you know, basing it on building from the relationship they started from the beginning. So, I mean, you know, if you start going and trying to do research, you know, on your 10 friends' marriages or 10 people that you knew were married, you're going to get the wrong perception of it. Everybody's going to have a different story. So, I mean, if you're going to go outside and just seek research, you start them off from the beginning. I think that's where a lot of people, you know, get the beliefs, like their beliefs or the lack thereof, about marriage or the you know, the false or the misconceptions about marriage. Because, you know, you got a lot of people from every which way trying to tell you the ins and outs about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and half the ones that's telling you ain't got it the way they're trying to tell you.
Exactly.
So is marrying the right person the key to marital success? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Nope. Because that right person, when you know, there's such thing as, you know, the right person and then the right now person.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying when I say that?
No,
you know, we meet that person, our infatuation is in the way, and that's the right person. But you find out 3 months down the line, what the heck was I thinking of?
Right.
You know, go ahead.
I was going to say that statement was true earlier about, you know, quote unquote, this love kind of, you know, blinds you from, you know,
right,
from a lot of actualities. I mean, and let's be honest, it does. You know, you may be married for 15, 20 years, and I used this analogy before, you know. Your wife gets up on the right side of the bed all the time, but that next day she decides to get up on the left.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and it's like, whoa, you thought you really knew somebody. You know
right.
what I'm saying? I mean, it just, you know, you get mad because you love that person, man. It's
right.
not whether it's the right or the wrong. It's because you love that person, and you want to go through, you know, life trying to make it work. And I said this to one of my friends before. You know, when they were having a situation within their marriage, a man knows what to do. To fix marriage. To be totally honest, a man knows what to do, you know, to fix a marriage. Whether it's
mm-hmm.
what's going on, whether it's arguments, whether it's somebody's got a misunderstanding, you know, our biggest problem is we don't like to listen very long.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you all your spouse wants to do is just be heard. And I guarantee you, once they're heard, you know what I mean? And if you give your side of the story, I mean, it's we know how to fix a marriage quick. And
right.
I mean, it's just being real. Men know how to fix a marriage real quick. So marrying the right or wrong person, I mean, that's, you know, you can't marry the right or the wrong. You know, you marry out of love. That's what you're blinded by. That's what you hope you're blinded by. Am I having a good time?
Hold up, let me find my mute button right here.
I got it. Good words, brother. But does anybody believe that they married Miss Wright?
I believe I did. You know, I believe I did. I mean, me and Miss Wright right now just have a little, you know, a little problem. You know, Miss Wright just talking too much. But yeah, I believe I did.
I know I did. After 13 years of being with her, I know I did. You know, I know I did when I met her. I know I did when I married her. You know, I can't say I believe I did because then I'm going to have, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of that doubt comes into play. So I know I did. There are going to be those bumps, and they might say, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go cut grass because something might come out wrong.
Right.
You know,
get away
I
from the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about y'all's ex-wife? Now I know some of y'all have been married before. Didn't you think, you know, because it's getting time, you know, it's close to time. Mm. Didn't you think that she was Mrs. Wright too?
You know, my ex-wife is probably Miss Wright right by now. You know, if I holler back at her, yeah, she probably Miss Wright, probably about 3, maybe 7 days. Then the crazy would crack back out. Then she been Miss Wrong all over again. Yeah, man. You know,
your boat, brother.
Yeah, you know. I mean, yeah, ex-wives, yeah, they whatever. They still crazy, man. I mean, it was just, you know, a lot of times, like when I got married to my ex-wife, you know, I was very young. You know, she was young. We ain't know nothing about nothing. We don't really know nothing about life. And we, you know, we assumed that we would be just like our parents. You know, her parents stayed married, you know, and so did mine. You know, that's what we thought. And then here come real life and situations, and it was like, you know, nah, that's not us at all. We handle stuff differently. And as time went on, you know, it got to a breaking point. Of course, it was more to it than that. You know, chick was crazy.
I was definitely, I thought it was Mrs. Wright right then, because I was blinded by the physical, you know, different attributes, you know, kind of did things to me where you just don't experience at that age. You know.
Well, you know, if you took one look at my ex-wife, it would be very obvious why I married her.
You would know
exactly what was on my mind. You took one look at her.
So that's what we're talking about. That's what we talk about.
You
get blinded by something else, you know, whether it's love or that physical attribute, or she did something that would take a doctor to uncurl your toes, type thing. That kind of thing. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, it was Mrs. Wright right then, but yeah.
Obviously. Or like Mrs. Right now.
Yeah.
So did y'all actually know that you were marrying the wrong person when you married your ex?
I had a feeling. It was more ego with me because I didn't want to lose. I wanted to win.
I know.
Be victorious. Prove everybody wrong.
Same here. And I think it was because I was young and quote unquote knew what I was doing. When you tell somebody, especially, you know, your older family members, you got this and you know what you're doing, you're gonna try everything to succeed in that.
Absolutely. And try to prove that you knew what you were talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was right there. Right there.
Yep.
So do y'all think that you got married too young? I mean, did you rush into marriage?
I think it was a combination of all of that for me. I think got married too young, rushed into marriage, didn't want to lose, ego played a part, the sexual tendencies, and, you know, all that.
So, I don't ever want to say that I got married too young, because I always tell people you really can't put a age and a time on love if you love somebody. You know what I mean? Right from wrong. You know what I mean? I was a grown man at the time, so I can't say that I didn't know what I was doing. At the same time, I was naive to a lot of the facts. So I'm not going to say that I was too young to get married. I could possibly say I was absolutely dumb. You know what I'm saying? And just like kind of wanting to win and kind of wanted to succeed. I had my doubts going into it because, you know, the courtship itself wasn't long at all. You know, just, man, that love is it's a strong thing, especially when you think you feel it. You know, and it just turns out that other half, throughout that misconception, you know, gave me that misunderstanding that I thought she did too.
And, you know, just for me to clarify on the married too young, it's a little broader than just that simple statement. I didn't know, I wasn't financially stable. I didn't know really what I wanted in life. I didn't know what she wanted in life, what you really want. I knew, you know, everybody have dreams, you know, but what you really want versus what you, when you find out what you can really do and what you're really capable of, you know. So we were both at a very, very young age, if you know what I'm saying, as far as being established and getting to a certain point in life. We didn't know where that point was. So that just added, you know what I'm saying? If you got other factors taken care of and you can be young, cool. But when you got all that other stuff, you know, not wanting to lose, you know, blind, you know, sexual attributes, all that other stuff, and then you don't really know what each other want, what you all want out of life, then, yeah, that youngness, that plays a factor also.
So if I ask your first wife, would she say that she married the wrong person?
I don't know what she would say. I don't know if she would say that she married the wrong person, because that would be like her admitting a mistake, and I know her. I believe what she would say is that she would say that I didn't want to be married, and she wanted a divorce because she knew I didn't want to be married. That's how she wrote.
But let me get the right answer.
Anybody else, if I ask your first wife, would she say that she married the wrong person?
Yep.
Why so, brother? What was so wrong about you?
Oh, there was a lot wrong. But, you know, we grow and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I wasn't there at the time, you know. So I didn't appreciate, you know, what marriage was. And you know, I at the point in my life, I was like, well, you know, you can be replaced.
Yeah, I don't think mine would say she married the wrong person. Because, you know, a different person now. My first marriage taught me a lot of what not to do. Some of the mistakes that I made then, I remember. And she sees a different person now, because obviously we still have children together. So, and yes, I'm remarried, and it's different. So I believe that she would say the same thing that I would say, is that we had issues and we weren't prepared for them. And maybe she did marry young or whatever the case may be, but when I mean young as far as being mature, ready for marriage commitment.
So out of all the men that are out here choosing wives, I mean, how do we know that we're choosing the most wisely? How do we know that?
I don't think. What's up, fellas? This is Derek. I don't have too much time, but
go ahead, brother.
Man, that's a hard one. I think the problem. I'm not gonna say it's like a project, but you know, I think thorough research should have went a little bit more into it than just the thought. You know, I think sometimes, my luck in my case, I was more infatuated with the M word than I was with. What about the other stuff? I'll worry about that later. And I think sometimes you can rush into things. I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing, but you know, I know like in my case, I think it may have been rushed.
So Derek, I know you ain't got a lot of time, but you know, do you think you're as happily married as you expected to be?
No. I'll be honest, no, I'm not.
Talk about those expectations, Rodney. That's actually a very good question you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
About what I expected?
Yeah, what you expect, bro?
I guess not to lose myself. You know, it's funny. It was almost like when the ring went on, it was like a transformation. Whoosh.
Damn. I know what that's like.
And it's, you know, and some of it may have been due to me coming back from, you know, overseas and during the war, but I don't think that those feelings and the way that I acted was something new. I think it was dormant because I had been that way prior to. So it's not like something came out of me that, wow, where did it come from? Because people who know me for years, so yeah, that's there. I don't know why you're surprised. That's there. So I think that's what happened. And it's just one of those things where, you know, hopefully it can be rectified, but you don't know. And I don't want to get to the point to where I'm numb, meaning that, you know, when some of the issues, I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. So, you know, once you start to get into that, then you're thinking, okay, can you salvage it? I don't know.
Good words. Anybody else? Are you as happily married as you expected to be? I don't know what your expectations of marriage were.
I had pretty. My expectations weren't that high because I had been married before, and considering where I am now, I think I'm as happy as I thought I would be. I honestly am because. Happiness, you know, I hate to sound, you know, like a cliche, but happiness is the eye of the beholder. If you don't have a relationship with God and an understanding of yourself and how you really work and able to love yourself, then it's going to be happiness is going to be very fleeting. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with me, you know, my wife is human. She's not some perfect being who does everything that I believe right and all, you know, all of that. You know, my nerves. At the end of the day, I still love her, though. So, yeah, I say I'm where I am, you know, where I expect it to be.
Words, good words. So if I ask your current wife, would she say that she married the wrong person?
If you ask her today, she would.
So today she would, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She probably listening right now.
Why would she say that, bro?
Because I acted a fool in the car. That's fine. You know, man, we can only take so much nagging. You know, they go on and on. It's like, just let it go. What do you want me to say to him? You just stop talking to me. What do I have to get you to just shut the entire hell up?
Oh, man.
That's where we were today. So that's the place we were at.
So she would say that she married the wrong person today.
Oh, yeah, you guys today. Yeah, you know how they are with their emotions, man. You know, they be all out of whack. Come back tomorrow, and I'd be the greatest man ever.
Anybody else want to take a stab at that? If I knocked on your door tonight and said, "Are you young Mrs. Such and Such? Are you married to the wrong person?" What would she say?
I'd probably say yes and no.
Why so?
Because I'm saying when you go back and forth, it's why I do this, and then you got those days where you like. Oh, I'm so happy. So, you know, it's like with kids. Oh, boy, if you weren't here, you know, they're like, oh, boy, you here. So it's like, yeah, see him on the phone? Get him a brush of teeth. Like one of these moments right now. You see him on the phone.
No, that's good. That's good, D. That's good. But do y'all think that most wives, strive to be good wives? Striving to be obedient and subservient to their husbands.
I don't know about all that. They try to be good, but not obedient.
Hey, man, look, I've been listening the whole time, yo. Yeah, what's up, BJ?
Yeah, what's good? I've been listening the whole time, man, and of course I'm on the outside looking in. I'm probably the only single man on the conversation once again.
Stay single.
Stay single. Don't listen to him, B. Don't listen to him, B.
But what I see, from, you know, people I know, relatives, whatever the case may be, what I see is, you know, most of the case is the wives are not striving to be, you know, good wives or better wives or a better woman, you know, inside that marriage. They're quite, you know, my thing is a lot of them are quite comfortable because since you married her, then that means that she don't need to change because you married her flaws and all. So she feels quite comfortable right where she is as far as her attitude, as far as everything else. You married her as, you know, as is. So in her mind, or, you know, in some women's mind, they feel as if they don't need to change. You dig what I'm saying?
See, this is my thing. If you came into it and that's what she is, then so be it. But then once you go in and there's that transformation, it's almost like military. I signed up for this. nobody told me. I was, you know,
you believe the recruiter, huh? You believe the recruiter?
Yeah. It's almost like, so, you know, like,
new things.
Like for instance, you know, I like used the honeymoon. When I went on the honeymoon to Punta Cana, I'd never been there before. Now, of course, I was still able to be myself. If we went back, no, couldn't be myself. Why, you know, it turned into, why are you looking at her? Well, you know, what like that at the honeymoon? Because I was able to be myself. But I was also able to look to the left and like, okay, well, I got pretty much the same thing, so I ain't worried about it. And as the years progress, then, of course, everything else changes. So, of course, I may have a tendency to look to the left, but my neck, I have a hard time coming back to the right now.
That's why they have expensive sunglasses. Yeah, but listen to this. I think BJ got a point there. You know, when you go into marriages, women get comfortable, like you said, but they always want you to change. You know, he loved me as I am. That's the way they think about themselves.
Too much Mary J. Too much Mary J.
But you know, but they want you to be a better husband. They want you to be a better man. Stop doing what you used to do, you know. And then when you're in the marriage and they get mad, they're talking about, you ain't no man, be a man. And you're like, what? You know?
Well, P-Town, do you think, does your wife even know the error of her ways?
No, because they get so used to it that they doing more complaining about what you doing than what they doing.
You know, I've been listening to all you guys. I must have just married the right woman.
Andrew's having a good day. Foiled again. Curses.
I'm listening to y'all, and I'm like, man, I'm glad I don't have to put up with that.
Here we go.
Andrew's having a good day. But, I mean, fellas, did anybody think that they were marrying someone fun, but now you realize that was just her representative?
No, my wife is fun, man. My wife is fun. I mean, man, we get ready to go on vacation. We get ready to go to Busch Gardens because, you know, I like to drink beer and ride roller coasters. I mean, she fun just hanging out.
Right.
Hey, she's getting on my nerves.
So you don't think you're in some ways you're the victim of a bait and switch with her representative?
No, not at all, not at all, no. I made
just
that
every
mistake
now
once. I made sure that was genuine.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? The representative? Did she catch you? But did anybody's parents ever think that you married the wrong person?
Yeah, my mom.
With this wife, the last one.
My mom think about this one. My mom thought that about the last one. And so I came to the conclusion that my mom won't think that about any of them. So it ain't really matter what my mom think. I got to live with them. So, you know, mom, I do appreciate you. But I honestly believe that you don't think no woman is good enough for your baby boy.
Anybody else? Did your mom, Duke, ever think that you married the wrong person?
I tell you what, my mama quiet, yo. Like, she, you know, she don't really say much, you know what I'm saying? But every woman I brought over, every woman, it was something wrong with her. Literally, something. I couldn't see it, but she saw it. You know, every one of them, and from the high school sweetheart all the way up to my last engagement, every one of them she saw a problem with. Real talk. I mean, and she don't, you know, she's not one of those, you know, you can never find a woman as good as me, I'm your mama, da da da. She ain't one of those types. But she'll pull me to the side and be like, it's something wrong with her. It's literally something wrong with her, and you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk. My son's mother, same thing. It's something wrong with her. She insecure about something. But she ain't letting go of her past or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, from that perspective, yeah.
Boy, you done said something. I don't think you know that word, insecurity. Well, I'm trying to tell
you. I'm telling you, man, that's a killer. That's a killer to me. Like, a woman being insecure, it's like kryptonite to me. For real. It is.
Why they insecure?
I run away from that. I do.
Why they insecure?
Man, a couple of men have played them, or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But when somebody serious come around and cross your path, you know, you treat them as if he's about to do that. That as if he's about to, you know, play you or control you or manipulate you or abuse you any which way. That happened. This is what happened with my last engagement. You know what I'm saying? She assumed everything wrong about me. Everything.
Yeah, but don't they? Don't they look to us for security?
Say that one more time.
Don't they look to us for security?
Yeah, but still, I mean, I can only be me.
Okay.
Even if I go out the way to prove to her that I'm not, and I've done that many times over, she still has it embedded in her mind. See, the problem I see with marriage or a relationship or anything is you can't force somebody to do what you want them to do. You know what I'm saying? They have to make that choice regardless of how big the problem is. Regardless, they have to make that choice to change. If they can't make that choice or find reasons to change, then it's not going to work, whether you be married or in a relationship or engaged or not, period.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is that they have to change their insecure ways before moving on.
Pretty much, in my opinion.
Gotcha.
That's my opinion. And I'm not saying
fine.
All women are insecure, you know what I'm saying? It's just the ones that I date off. Look what I do for a living.
Gotcha.
I got one in every state. I got kids in every state. I'm married in every state.
So if a man, and I'm just throwing this question out there, if a man hooked up with a woman that knows his past, and let's say his past is a little ragged,
right,
knows his past, she knows he had a lot of women, she knows he was a player, but they still hook up, will that relationship ever be able to thrive because of the insecurities of that woman?
Well, I wouldn't even call that being insecure. I hope she got common sense. If she knew and knew that man has a past and he got women everywhere, what was the point of getting with her then? If you were seeking out something long term, then it's more behind it than just love. You looking for some money, some material thing or something, or you just don't want to be alone. That's an insecurity.
Yeah, I mean, but the man might say, okay, I want to marry you, I want to settle down, I want to change.
Okay, well, I mean,
because we all say that.
Saying it and doing it is two different things.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. So now, if the man says it, but then he's got to follow up and show her that she can be secure with him.
Right.
Okay, got it.
But B, you said that you were engaged, but you.
I was.
So you called off the wedding, or who called it off?
I called everything off.
Why'd you do that?
Why?
Yeah.
Man, let's sit here and tell you everything that she did to me.
No, she made him insecure.
Yeah, y'all
you made
like,
man,
call.
What?
She made
him insecure,
that's
right. Hey, you have to give us the Cliff Note version.
The short version would be that in her eyes, in my opinion, what I saw from her is that she was just trying to be married just to be married.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? I take marriage a little bit more serious, being as though I seen my father be married 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was the first one.
Mm.
I take it very serious. So now when I wasn't taking it serious, yeah, I was playing the field. And I had every right to. But what I want to settle down, which I want to do now, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I gotta prepare myself for this and have knowledge of. This is why I mess with y'all everywhere. I try every Tuesday, but, you know, sometimes I can't. But, yeah, I get perspective from people who are married. Household stress.
There you go. I love it. I love the plug.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But when it comes to marriage, fellas, and good words, who has more expectations that marriage would be like a fairy tale, men or women?
Both.
Both? Come on, I said both.
I mean, you know,
a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah,
I tell you what,
that's
man.
That's B on the truck.
That's B on the truck.
Yeah, he's on the truck.
I tell you what, man, the truck driver that I would talk to when we sitting around, you know, say, the restaurant or whatever, some of them been married, you know, 5, 6, 7 times, bro, literally
mm-hmm.
5, 6, 7 times, man, because in their mind, they think that, you know, this is the one that finally understands why I do what I do and can hold it down while I'm on the road. And that woman will probably be like, I can do this, but when reality hits, like somebody said earlier, when he ain't there for weeks on end, you know, yeah, it tends to, you know, mess with everything. You start thinking crazy thoughts.
Yeah, the foundation is crumbling.
Right, already.
Yeah. Already, yeah.
So my thing is, and to be honest with y'all, my last engagement, this woman found the job that I work now. She found this job for me.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. I was listening to somebody say, you know, something about their first marriage and, you know, why he hung around the way he did, why he got married. You know, the woman was fine, and, you know, the sex was good. Well, it was the same thing here. See what I'm saying? I mean, she can cook. I ain't had to worry about the house being dirty. It was clean when I got in. The sex was fantastic. You see what I'm saying? But anything else, we connected after we moved into that house. Nah, man. It was just, I mean, it was like night and day. Literally, night and day. So she wanted to hang around. I mean, she literally told me that she wanted... All she wanted, since, you know, the relationship was over with, all she wanted was sex from me. See, you see what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes me feel uncomfortable, literally. I mean, because I know what I want. Now, this was me like 5, 6, 7 years ago. Yeah, I give it to you every which way. I ain't got a problem with that. But, I mean, I'm a wiser man now, so, you know, why am I going to keep going back to something that I just let go?
Mm-hmm.
And have very profound reasons to why I let her go.
Yeah, good words, B. And I want to go back to this fairy tale thing for a minute. And do y'all think that most little girls expect to grow up, get married, and become the good wife?
I don't think so, Rodney. I think fairy tale is about the wedding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And their fairy tale is about Prince Charming coming and taking care of them. I don't think they have fairy tales about being a wife and doing, you know, and being a good wife and that kind of thing. I think their fairy tale is more about the wedding and this man sweeping them off their feet and happily ever after. I don't think they think of work on their part at all.
But Andrew, don't most little boys expect to marry the good wife?
Most little boys ain't think about getting married. Most little boys think about getting in them panties.
No, back in the day, that was the only way you could get in some panties was to get married.
Well, that was
say that.
Back in the day before I was coming up. I was sleeping in the panties.
Hey, but okay, now when you say that the wife doesn't really have a fairy tale after her big day, but I just want to disagree just a little bit, only because I say they've been around their mom, and if it was a two-parent home, they've been around their mom serving the dad, being a wife, being a mom, so most of them have had a good example of what to do after their big day. I don't think they get into that and just are oblivious to what they just did.
Oh, no, he said growing up having a fantasy about being a good wife. Oh, I can't wait to get married and be a wonderful wife to my husband. I don't think that that's what their thought process is.
Okay.
I think their thought process is, wow, you know, they're playing with their little dolls. They're thinking about getting married, having a wedding. This is their dream, meeting Prince Charming. I don't think they understand anything about being a wife most of the time as he's, you know, it amazes me. Is I'll sit down with women right now, counseling with them, and they, you know, they're more focused on the wedding than the marriage.
Absolutely. I got a friend girl. That girl ain't got man the first, but she already done saved up enough money to pay for a wedding. Craziest thing ever. And I am not lying, y'all. This girl exists. Average monster. I pray for anybody to run across.
She got the placemat set at the table, all right, and a dress bought, and don't got man number one.
Wow. Yeah, he's not lying.
So do these fairy tales like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, do they just set everybody up for disappointment? I mean, got these women out here searching for Prince Charming.
Yeah, I mean, because first of all, women, they just make it just go, it's simple. It's not simple. First of all, you got to know yourself. Second of all, you got to love yourself. Third of all, you know, and I'm not trying to put these in order, but you got to have a relationship with God. If you don't know that you are a mess and you got issues, if you can't accept that, and if you think you're going to be able to change a man with what you got between your legs, no, that, I don't know.
That was
the best game in the world. One thing she could change me with that right there, because I used to love that.
Man, and that's what they think, though. They really think what's between their legs is going to change a man. And then they end up getting hurt.
Exactly.
At the end, then you're scorned. But yet, you know, they're blaming on the man, but you put yourself in that predicament, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know, it's
right.
Two to tangle.
Mm-hmm.
It's lined with gold, you know what I mean? And you know, you realize as a man, you know, they all got the same thing. You turn out the lights, it don't matter.
Oh, man, that's good. So do y'all think that we should boycott these fairy tale notions from Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella for our kids' sake, or do y'all think that's a little over the top?
I mean,
you need to have conversations with your girls and explain to them what marriage is and let them understand what marriage is. But, you know, so many parents don't talk to their kids, and they don't sit down. And you know, like I said, I think the fairy tale thing is really, you know, crazy. And then you get to the opposite end. Then you get these women, you know, shopping for a husband, and the standard is so high. I mean, there's no man in the world that can meet.
Good words. But did any of you imagine or maybe do you imagine that your marriage would ultimately be better than your parents' or grandparents' marriages? Do you think
thought mine would be. I thought I was going to just put my mom and dad to shame. Little did I know.
Little did you know.
I thought I was going to blaze a trail.
Didn't happen, huh?
No, man, please.
I have to say, I haven't tried to compare. Because
Now, let me correct myself. I'm sorry, brother, cut you off. But my first marriage, I compared. My second marriage, I don't care. I'm just trying to go day by day. That's it. Day by day.
And today was a bad one.
Today, God's going to have to work with me today.
So do you think that being married causes more stress or less stress?
Oof.
That's a difficult one.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I think at the beginning is less. And as you, like I said, depending on what the issues are, it can be less stressful, it can be more stressful, it could be just where it was at. So I think it's situational.
You know, just to piggyback on that, it really is situational. When it comes to sex, married people have less stress. They know what to expect. It's easy to get. They know what they get. They should be happy with what they get. They're working at it, right? It shouldn't be no problem. Single life, that's a different story as far as sex is concerned. First of all, I'm going to go on sick. I know somebody going to bring it up. You should be having sex anyway till you're married. All right, got that out the way.
Right.
But when you have sex while you're married, sometimes the sex is great. Sometimes the sex is average. Sometimes the sex can really suck. That's where that stress comes into play as far as sex is concerned. Companionship, you know, usually when a woman is single and she's with a single man, she's going to put her best foot forward to be accommodating. She's going to play video games and do all the stuff that he likes. She's going to be as little of an inconvenience as possible. Married men, we at Lowe's buying paint. We doing yard work. We planting flowers. We don't have the life of a single man as far as that everyday lifestyle. But when it comes to the bedroom, that's where the married man has the advantage because it's pretty much guaranteed.
Good words.
That's great.
I'm fearful that 1 week.
I'm fearful of that single life.
3 out of 4 weeks, you're guaranteed.
Yes, right, exactly. 3 out of 4 weeks, you're good to go. Right. No problem.
No guesswork.
Exactly.
No little black book.
You can tell if you're feeling adventurous or if you just want to go and get it out the way.
Yeah.
You don't even matter.
I ain't lying. I ain't scared. I'm just not.
What you say, D?
I said, I ain't scared.
Yeah.
I said,
I've been there. I've done that. And let me tell you something. No matter how good of a player, how good your rap game is, you're going to have some cold, lonely nights.
Yes, sir. Boy, them the worst, ain't
I don't care who you are.
Them the worst. Ain't they the worst? You done struck out and you really didn't need to struck out? Ain't that the worst?
Yeah. And then you get that old reliable that you can't even take outdoors.
You got that one that the boys can't find out about with the chin hair.
Exactly.
With the chin hair.
I'm sad. I must have been an exception to the rule after grad school because mine was by choice. No, I'm tired. No.
No, I had a backup and she was, ooh. Oh, that was embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine doing it today, though? With everything that's out there?
Yeah.
Imagine.
You never would imagine it.
That's about as far as you better go. Imagine it.
Actually, I'm happy with what I got. I'm glad them single days over because sometimes, you know, you get them real pretty ones you think, you know, would be dynamite in bed and, hey, horrible.
Yeah. You ain't got nothing to talk about when you're done. Nothing.
But see, I got like, I guess, a sidebar to it. I said, what happens? And, you know, with the evolution of social media, whatever, you have past. And those past, they come up. And, you know, what do you do? There is a, what would you do? Put it like that. What would you do?
I've had that happen to me. I've had one to actually try to come to my wedding, to my second wife. And I quickly shut that down. because I'm like, why are you coming? I mean, that's awkward. What am I going to introduce you as my friend? No, I was putting your head through a headboard, you know, like really. I'm not going to even try to play it. It's not a sitcom. Real life. No, you cannot come to my wedding. Your wife, yeah, she can't do everything. I mean, but I don't miss that. I mean, that's just physical.
And why do we feel the need to go backwards? I mean, we fired them for a reason.
Right.
Sometimes we forget why we fired them, and because they had some good qualities. I understand it. But the good qualities couldn't get them the ring.
No.
Well, see, in some cases, it was just timing. I said that. It may not have nothing to do with the person per se. It was just, you called me at a bad time.
Don't second guess your firings.
Second guess what?
Your firings.
It really wasn't a fire. Like, even if you think about it, I'm saying, even when you look at, let's say for instance, you look at going to a club. You got nothing against the club. You just tired.
Yeah.
So you're a second guess. You just like, I'm tired. I don't want to go tonight. Catch me 2 weeks. Yeah, I might want to go. So, you know,
I got that. But for me, with women, it was different. I mean, you know, if I knew either I wanted to marry you or I didn't. I knew either I just wanted to spend some time with you, hang out, because you was a fun girl, and that was it. You know, so a fun girl to then is still a fun girl now. She just might be a little older, but she may not be married to her.
But T-Hall, you mentioned qualities, and on paper, would you say that you and your wife are compatible on paper?
Pretty much on paper.
Would everybody agree with that on paper, that you and your wife are compatible?
I don't know about that one either.
I'm on some other street. I'm sitting in your living room. I'm cutting on Verizon files.
We got a little differences.
We all do. Even compatibility, you got differences.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the differences between y'all greater than you anticipated? Or are they about how you anticipated? Are they greater or about how you figured it would be?
With me, it's about where I figured it would be. She just, my wife loves to talk, and she won't shut up. When I say that, I mean she just, you know, I'm from the country, so you know, work a nerve, you know,
yeah,
like, all right, it's cool, you know, why you just keep working the nerve? Just let it go.
Yeah.
That's what my wife does. I knew that when I met her. I knew that before I married her. I knew that after I married her. It's over.
Right.
She just won't shut the hell up.
All right. Do you hold your emotions inside? I mean, do you censor yourself?
You know what? I try. Lord knows I try. But today on 295, I just let go. Rodney, I only let go for a little bit on 295. You know, I had to bring it back in. You know, I had to bring it back in. You know, that's why I worked out with her. You know, she thought I was just working out. No, I'm working out. So I know I'm working out. Don't worry about it. I got this. You know, but you know, yeah, I had to work out, get that, blow that steam off.
So fellas, do y'all should you hold your emotions inside or should you just let her have it?
No, hell no. Hold them inside. Don't ever let her have it. No.
Man, I think that's the wrong thing, man. I'm not saying that with every little whim of emotion that, you know, you feel some type of way, like the females be saying, you let it go. I'm not saying that. But if you got something that you need to say and you want to say, I think you should say it. Because if you don't say it, then she's going to feel that either you don't care what she do or what she say, what actually she takes a part in a certain situation. You know what I'm saying? I think you should let her know what's on your mind.
No.
DJ?
I disagree.
Man,
not everything.
DJ?
day. No.
I'm going to have to step in on this one, BJ.
Hey, you ain't got to step in. I'm just letting you know. I'm not saying you got to cuss her out. There's a way that you can come out. I ain't saying, you know, full steam ahead, cut her head off and defecate down her neck. I ain't saying all that. I'm saying there's a way that you can come at her. To make her understand where you're coming from. I'm serious, man.
No.
That's one of the things that he ain't make the greatest mistake of holding stuff in, bro.
Listen, women, hold on. If you ever, woman,
talk to
them. Have been at that point to where they are beyond rational comprehension. A Harvard professor can't break. Now, you know, a first grader can't break this down to enough for them to understand, because they just ain't hearing it. So you got to be the stronger vessel. You got to be, you say, you know what? This is really getting nowhere. Women are emotional. And I'm not going to get down to her level, because if I do, it's only going to get worse. So let me just go on, get this little issue right here to God, and keep it moving.
Well, let me flip it around, Ike. Should she hold her emotions inside?
And you know she ain't.
What woman you know? Come on, man. Really?
And you know she, that's what I'm saying. And you know she ain't. You know that it's going to be said. If she got a problem, she going to tell you. It may not be the way that you like when you receive it, because the way she's speaking it to you, but she going to say it.
Yeah, she's going to say it. And you know something else? Women also say a lot of other stuff, too, that, you know, in the heat of the moment, they don't really mean. They just trying to be big, bad, and bold. You know that, right? You know how they out there emotions.
And I wholeheartedly understand it. But what I'm saying is, a lot of the times men will hold stuff in. Like I said, you ain't gotta talk trash to her about it. Talk to her.
Well, I'm just not that dude.
Talk to her.
I'm not that deal.
I can't break it down. I can't hold it in. I'm not gonna call one of my homeboys and talk to him about it. I'll call my mama. I'm gonna talk to her. I ain't that dude.
Cause I know me. I am incapable. I've tried to talk to the people here in this Institute of Higher Learning, and I was like, now. I tell you right now, sometimes I'm like, I live with some freaking geniuses. It's like I'm the only one that's hooked on phonics in this damn house. Even though it's plain as day, and it's as obvious as the damn sun in the sky. This is the point where I need to withdraw from the conversation, because we don't pass the point of, okay, we're now amicably trying to work something out. We done got to the point of now, where it's tit for tat. And every guy knows that point of a conversation when you try to bring up one point, and if you are proving that she's wrong and she gets in that tit for tat mode, that's when you need to break away and disengage. Now, you can try that, say whatever's on your mind. I know with me, it only just blows up into something worse.
Yeah, because she going to bring back that thing from about 4 months ago.
Oh, just yeah, they lie. They say anything just to try to get the upper hand.
The other
issue is that they gonna say whatever they think gonna push a button on you too.
Exactly. And I don't need
that.
Yeah,
and if you say something that they don't like, it's a fight.
Who are you
but
telling?
They say whatever they want to.
But see that's the thing. If you want to be the stronger person in the relationship, you know, the man or whatever the case may be, cool. But what I'm saying is, when it gets to that point, walk away. You know what I mean? And that's real talk.
Right.
She can talk all the time, she won't walk away. Because ain't nothing worse than a man that hits a woman, regardless. I'm not the argumentative type. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to say what I want to say. And regardless if you don't like it or not, if you can't talk to me like an adult, like we did when we first started dating, when everything was all and all that stuff right there, you can't talk to me like an adult, then what's the point of you having the conversation?
Exactly. And that's why I executed man order number one. Hello. Because I was in a car in a traffic jam on 295 and I could not walk away. And so I said, listen to your jazz, I'm going to listen to my gangster rap, and we ain't going to say nothing. Don't say nothing. to me for the rest of the night, and she has abided by that rule.
Mm. Well, I want to, just talking about holding our emotions inside, and specifically regarding her, I want to make a slight diversion here at 10:24. And we'll get back on track, but it's a little monkey wrench, but it's tied into what you guys are talking about her holding her emotions inside, and maybe well, just listen to the clip. It's 30 seconds. It's got a little background noise, but you should be able to hear what's what the conversation is. 30 seconds, fellas.
Let me ask you something real that millions of Americans are thinking about, you know, wondering about you. Do you like teenagers? Say teenage, how old are we talking? Girls who are teenagers. 19 and younger. I have some 19-year-old friends, but I don't like anybody illegal, if that's what you're talking about, underage.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was Touré interviewing R. Kelly after his acquittal. But just regarding that clip, fellas, and regarding keeping her emotions inside, what if you found out after you were married that your wife was a victim of sexual abuse?
I would, well, this is Derek. With me, it's kind of like, okay, why didn't you tell me from the giddy up?
Maybe she could.
Then, you know, I look at that as a critical piece of information if it is affecting, you know, the relationship. Because then all this time, it's sort of like if maybe a bad scenario. Let's say you married a white girl and you thought her parents were dead to find out they were just straight racist. So that's why she wants you to meet them. So you're thinking, you know, you're thinking, you wasted, you know, where you could have maybe tried to salvage to try to make the parents realize that, okay, whatever you think, I'm not like that. So whatever was going on with you, you know, she could have just had these issues. And now that she had these issues, oh, I see where it came from now. Because, you know, she may come out the blue and start saying stuff to you. Like, whoa, where did this come from? So it's like one of these things where, you know, whatever happened in the past, if you have not solved it, if you're not, therapy or anything like that, it's gonna stay with you.
Do the same rules apply for a man?
Yeah, same thing.
So if he was sexually abused, you gotta tell the wife that?
I would think so. I put it like this. It's not, whatever happened in your past had nothing to do with me. It wasn't my fault. So I'm going in already knowing what happened. And the man or woman has to make a choice.
I just think that's a difficult thing to say. And I do kind of understand a little bit why they would hold it back, because they don't want you to look at them a certain way. You know what I mean? I mean, but you are 100% correct. They should disclose that in the beginning. But on the other hand, I know that it's probably a difficult thing to bring into a new marriage. And I guess women come in feeling as though.
How are you going to look at them once you find out? Don't know.
You don't know.
Some people have left. You know, it's almost like, you know, I hate to use this scenario, but it's like Toni Morrison, whatever. He's coming out saying he's gay. Wow, what were you going to tell me? You were gay when we got married.
Yeah, but she's got a better chance staying married than never not getting married to you at all. You know what I'm saying? Once it comes out, you know, you can probably say, okay, you should have told me, versus had she told you in the beginning, you might be like, nah, I can't.
That is true.
I think the big part of it is whether or not telling you or not telling you has something to do with what's going on. Because, you know, if it really, the fact that whatever happened had no bearing on what's going on, then it's really a non-fact. Now, if it did, like, say, for instance,
you know that's going to have some bearing. That's going to come out.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying, not what I mean by that, let's say, for instance, you want to get freaky deaky, right? Freaky deaky ain't happening for some reason. It never happened. And you're trying to figure out why. So years go by, and then you find out why. Like, wow.
Something triggered it.
Yeah.
Something you did, knew, triggered it.
Yeah, you may have said, okay, let's play rough man, rough woman, whatever.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. You're like, what?
Right, and that reminded them of, you know, something that happened.
So in a marriage, do y'all think that we should censor ourselves?
Explain. No. What do you mean? Give me an example.
This is an example right here, sexual abuse. Should that be censored?
No, sexual abuse.
No.
I don't think it's cut and dry. I just don't think that's an easy answer.
It really depends on the situation because, like, I got some friends I went to high school with. You would think that they demand a relationship because they just straight, you know, they want no punk, no nothing. So they may look at the man as being a punk for allowing it to happen, and it may not be the man's, you know, it may not be his fault. But you know, if you got somebody's hardcore, and you're like, this happened when? You know, so, you know, it's one of those things. It's very situational, and it's hard, you know, for me being a man, it's hard to tell another man what you go ahead and tell him, because I know their situation. You know, there's a 50-50 chance every time you tell him, he should tell him. There's a 100% chance you don't say nothing.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a 50-50 chance that either she's going to stay or she's going to go.
I know we all got some things that maybe our wives should know, and she'll never know. I mean, it is what it is. She should know. Well, maybe she shouldn't know. Maybe she could know, but she'll never know.
There's some things about our wives that we should know that we know we'll never know.
And we guess what? And some of them we don't want to know.
Don't want to know who you
don't
want
to know.
Yeah, because I remember a topic some time ago, and I can't remember when it was, but we said, which you say how many?
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
And I was like, five. That's the number. Stick right to it.
Yeah, I don't
want to
know.
Don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
Do you want to know?
No, yeah, I don't want to know.
Or do you go ahead and tell the? Or do you tell the truth?
I mean, because how you know she's telling the truth? Even if you do want to know when she tell you, how you know it's true?
Yeah,
and I don't know, and
you don't
care.
And guess
care.
What? No matter what my wife says the number is, mine is 8 times bigger. I already know. So I don't want to expose my number.
Yeah, that's the whole key. It's like you're like, oh, man.
Don't put me on the hot seat. I don't want to forget about my number because guess what? I don't even know my number.
I lost my number a long time ago.
Speaking of numbers, you know, and just tying this back to the whole sexual abuse piece, last month, the month of April, was actually Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And it's estimated that 1 out of every 4 girls and 1 out of every 6 boys has been sexually abused by the age of 18. So what that actually means is that chances are you know both someone who's a victim and someone who's an abuser.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's real talk. And, you know, literally, probably somebody on this show tonight has been sexually abused. I mean, if we want to talk about it, but I want to go back to what Dee just said about marrying a white girl. And I got a clip here, about 30 seconds. Listen to this.
Whatever happened. I send my wife all the time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know they love to be together and everything and all that, but you need that me time decompress.
Hey, and I mean, the way that I posed it to my father-in-law and to my mother-in-law, and I actually stood in front of the whole family, is I would rather go walk around a lake or not come at all than to be a prick the whole time I'm there.
Mm.
Take away from y'all's time. That's fine. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. If I know that it's not going to be, I'm not going to be where I need to be, you got to respect the fact that I've got enough know-it-all to say, yep, it's time for me to go.
Time for me to go. Can marrying outside of your race or outside of your culture make her the wrong person?
Hold on, say that question one more time.
can marrying outside of your race or outside of your culture make her the wrong person?
No.
It depends on where you're at. It depends on where you're at.
No. If there's a clear understanding, and I'm speaking in terms of being a Christian. If anybody is not a Christian on this telephone or conversation, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? But this is the way I see it. First of all, love see no color, period. Love see no color, period. Period, point blank. I don't care if there were green people in the world. You know what I'm saying? Love see no color. It's what the perception of people who says otherwise. But if there's a clear understanding between that man and that woman who are, you know, racially and culturally different, if there's an understanding that love sees no color and you are living proof and you live by that, it shouldn't be no problem. I mean, it's going to be a problem as far as what the people around them and the perception.
Not to cut you off, but it's the people around you sometimes that depict your attitude, because you right now today in 2012, you're not going down to Memphis, Tennessee, and a black person, a white person get married in certain parts of Tennessee.
Lies you tell. I see that all the time in Memphis, in Alabama, in Mississippi.
It depends on who you are, because I've seen where I can be friends with whoever I want to, but when it comes to marriage, that's a whole totally different story. When the family say no, regardless of what those two individuals want, they're gonna have to make a choice. Either we're gonna fall in love, be married, stay to ourselves and be happy, or we're gonna listen to everybody else around us. Personally,
if your parents and your family can dictate who you marry, what nationality you marry into,
if they have a say,
then don't get married.
Period.
If they have a say, then don't get married. If their say is that strong and that important, then don't get married, because they're going to dictate any marriage that you're going to have and destroy it in the long run anyway.
And that means they got a hook on your life anyway. So you just allowing them.
That's why I said it depends on where you are and what your head level is. Because I've seen people that have been married and were happy until they went back home. And because they went back home and wasn't accepted, then the marriage became null and void, because where the one person went, well, we were fine before we came here. The other one went, but yeah, you don't understand.
Yeah.
And just like I said, what is the concept of marriage? Okay, what's the concept of marriage for married men? That you are one under God's eye, correct?
That's true.
That's very true. So, in regards to what you do, you agree with everything your family do or does? No.
It's impossible.
The question was,
can race make a difference?
Right.
And it depends on the maturity of the individual and where they are. If the individual is mature to the point where I don't care what anybody has to say about who I'm with and how I live my life, then it is what it is. But if that person doesn't have that maturity level to be able to tell their mom, if you can't accept it, be feet.
That's right. Marriage is not for the weak. Period.
It ain't.
Marriage is not for the weak. This is grown folks' business. If you are that weak and somebody can make it, that can influence your decision making, don't get married, because you'll never make it.
It is just the same magnitude of a pack of girlfriends that your wife used to hang around before y'all got married, and they still hanging around ever so often, and they feed her BS in her ear that has nothing that, you know. This is what's going to happen to your man. Your man going to do this because my man did it. My ex-boyfriend. You understand?
And what normally happens in that situation?
It's the same influence. It is only coming from blood.
And
it's going to sting a little bit more because it's coming from your family. But just like I said,
What if? Okay, I'm single. All y'all married. So what if I keep having dreams of marrying a Mexican chick or a white chick, and this white chick is pretty much what God has for me as far as my wife, and I meet this white chick, we get married, and some of my family, and Patrice, you know what I'm talking about. Some people in our family, you know what I'm saying, they may not like it.
I heard that story.
They may not like it. They may not like it, but guess what?
Well, right.
It won't make me no never mind. And that's the strength of me. Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It depends on the maturity of the individual. Because I know for a fact that when it comes to me, I can care less who thinks what of who. Because that's just who I am. I told my mom that when I left home, and she told me, don't come back here. When I said, Mom, whoever I come back with, you got to get up and let me go. You know, so it goes to that point of the individual. And then where you are, I mean, you know, plain and simple, it goes along with that maturity level. If you're not mature and strong enough to hold your ground and stand on what you believe in, then it's not going to work. I don't care how much y'all love each other. If y'all not willing to fight through the issue, it's not going to last.
Yeah. Good words, man.
Yeah, good words.
It ain't going to work.
And speaking of, somebody mentioned decision-making. And regarding decision-making, because your wife kept her maiden name or hyphenated her last name.
Oh, my ex-wife did.
Was that a subtle sign that she married the wrong person?
I say so. And, I mean, the reason why I say so is because of her reasoning for doing it. And everybody's situation is different. So if your wife give you a reason why she wants to keep her maiden name and you accept that reason and y'all can go on living happiness, cool. My ex-wife reasoning was dumb. This fool didn't want to forget who she was, so she kept her maiden name. And I was like, how in the hell marrying me gonna make you forget you ever was? You don't marry me and some men in black flash your eyes and then you lose track of who you was. That does not happen. Is the dumbest I've ever heard.
What do you say, Andrew?
I said, did you get that before you married her?
What'd you say now?
You were breaking up, Andrew. Say it again.
So did you know that she wasn't going to take your name before you married her?
No, I married her. If you would have to see her to see why I married her.
I mean,
when I married her, the last thing on my mind was what was the last name she had.
You were like, I'll take your last name.
When I married her, I wanted to do any and everything to something.
I'm going to say something. She must have been super fine.
Man, let me tell you what. To me, in my eyesight, she was. She was, because I ran past every caution, all the road signs. I sped by them at 100 miles an hour.
You just wanted her. You just wanted to take her off the market. Period.
I just wanted it for all the wrong reasons.
What I'm saying is, you couldn't have got it without marrying her.
You know what? No, because I was going into the military and I wanted the extra money in my paycheck and I wanted her there with me and everything and I knew all the fare I would pay. Oh, don't get me started, man. Don't get me started. Don't get me
so
started.
So you wanted that permanent living. I ain't mad at you. I understand. I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. You couldn't let that thing get away.
You telling? Who you if I'd have known all the potential I would have tagged with, then I definitely would have let that go on and float, that balloon go on and float out of my hand, but I didn't do that. I took that balloon with me.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do it.
Did you go to primary? But don't you know that's probably the reason why. And people see, man, I respect you, dude. I don't know your name, bro. The one that had the fine first wife, you know what I'm saying? And you pretty much telling the reason why you married her.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes ain't gonna admit that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it just ain't work out. Nah, man, she was fine. And most relationships, even before it gets to the marriage part or the engagement part, it's for the simple fact he's fine. And for the women's side of it, it's a sex game. He can tear it up. You know what I'm saying? But you would do nothing else matches what makes a relationship grow and be strong.
I figured we would live off of sex and love for the first part of our marriage. And then all the things that I had issue with, they would just work themselves out. Well, boy, what did I know?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Joke was on me.
Well, y'all know what I say. Show me a super fine woman, and I'm going to show you a man that's tired of hitting it.
Oh, man, good words, good words. Yeah, well, I got to hurry up here. Shut her down. We're getting close to shutdown time. This is good talk, fellas. But back to everybody marries the wrong person. Do y'all think that we have realistic expectations? And what I mean by that is, does the problem stem from people's expectations about what marriage should be like? Is it that couples just don't understand how relationships really work? Talk about this thing, the wrong person and marriage and all that stuff. Is it the people just don't understand how relationships really work?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, they don't. They put too much thought into the other person instead of worrying about themselves. Instead of asking the question, am I ready to date? Am I ready to be in a relationship? They come up with these stupid lists. Like the same girl, I'll tell you, this dummy who got the wedding paid for. She got a list like a phone book of everything a man's supposed to have. And I'm like, you more worried about somebody who don't exist instead of taking care of that person you look at in the mirror every day. That's the first person you need to address and get to know before you start worrying about Mr. Right and getting married and all that other stuff. But, yeah, people put too much fake stock in the other people themselves.
What is she bringing to the table?
Requirements.
Yeah. Hey, this is just on a side note. North Carolina voted to pass the amendment that is one man and one woman for marriage.
Yep.
Oh, they passed it.
Question for you, Rodney. If some of these politicians get their way, and men can marry men, are we going to accept men on his call, married to other men?
Oh, no. My God. Seriously?
No, we don't do that. Yeah,
wow.
We don't do that.
Seriously?
Yeah, we don't do that.
I'm just
one of them. We don't. Yeah, we're
no,
married,
we don't do
one
that.
One of them would have to be the woman, and she's not allowed on the call.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man.
And I'm just asking.
No, we don't do that here. Good question, but no.
Legitimate question, because the way the times are nowadays,
that's right.
Yeah, you got
that's
to
right.
ask.
Got
in D.C. is coming here.
Yeah, yeah. But back on track here, fellas. That I mean, you're right that people don't understand, you know, how relationships really work. And I equate it to, you know, people think that if a marriage is meant to be, then it will just be. But
no,
I mean, I just say, you know, if you're going to get a dog, you're going to have some dog doo doo. And there's also no such thing as a doo doo free marriage.
Nope.
And the problem is many people don't expect to find any doo-doo at all in their marriage. And when they do encounter doo-doo, it stinks. And they see it as a sign that they married the wrong person. But if one spouse is fixated on believing that they married the wrong person, mustn't they conclude that the right person is somewhere out there waiting for them?
Well, that's just what they do.
Usually they don't. Usually they, you know, they think that the right person is right around the corner when they really don't understand that the right person is right there in front of them. You know, like I said, that goes back to getting to know yourself and really what you want out of life. You know, a lot of people don't do that.
So do you think, is it acceptable for a person to continue treating their spouse as the wrong person since they obviously made a mistake in marrying them in the first place?
No, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable at all. I mean, it's got to take some understanding and some communication. If you're the spouse, if you're the person that's doing the wrong, you know, you got to just go on and come clean and be the bigger person, you know. You got to just go on and admit that you're wrong. And it's not okay. You can't just be mean to a person or blow up on them and expect them to change. Blowing up on somebody just results in more warfare. That's all that results in. Ain't nobody going to ever just say, oh, wow, I'm glad you blew up on me and acted a fool on me. Now I see exactly what you're talking about, and I'm going to change. That don't ever happen. That don't ever happen. So, you know, it's got to take some talking when y'all both in the frame of mind and trying to work something out. But number one, you know, you got to have God. You know, if you don't have God and you don't know yourself, then you're just wasting your time.
So do y'all think that it's possible a person can become the right person after saying I do? Is that possible?
Yes.
They can become the right person after saying I do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can become happier.
Mm.
You know, that's what I found myself doing except for today. Yeah, you can become happier than the wedding. You know, the wedding, you're happy, but now, you know, a year after the wedding, 2 years after the wedding, you're happier, and that's where I am, you know, except for today.
So do we all just go to Vegas? Get
Say again?
Do we all just go to Vegas, get sloppy, stupid drunk, get a ring out the candy machine, and get married? I'm just saying because, you know, something that you just said earlier, you know, about marriage, about how we know that it's the wrong person. But I think that initially it was the right person. I don't think that we were oblivious to the fact that we were marrying the right person at that time.
I think we have some idea.
Are you talking about one moment in time?
Yeah, one moment. I mean, you know, you married your wife when you were marrying her. She was the right person. You would have married her.
Yes.
And I think things happened along the lines that we didn't know how to handle. So then in our mind, they became the wrong person. That transformation, because maybe they didn't do what we said. Maybe they didn't do what they said they were going to do, or they changed, the representative left, or whatever the case may be. But I think that it was the right person on the onset. In most cases.
T-Hawk, would you say that there are a few lucky people like Andrew that marry the right person out of the gate?
I think, I'm not going to say Andrew's lucky.
Out there.
I'm going to say that Andrew does necessary things to keep that marriage right.
Mm. Interesting.
I think saying whether or not you're marrying the right person is a little question. For the simple fact that you only know what you want, not necessarily what you need.
Yeah.
At the time that you get together, to Theo's point, that for that moment, I have limited understanding. I have no idea what tomorrow brings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, that could be with a job, that could be with a car you
sure.
buy, that could be, you know, sure. TV that you buy, you know, you thought it had picture in picture, you got it home, it don't have
right.
I know this because that's my TV. I bought a TV. I thought it had pictures. I hit the button, and it said picture in picture. I hit the button. Nothing happened.
I want to comment on what Tony said.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. If you watered your own grass, it would get pretty green.
Awful.
What he said, me making sure that my wife's needs are met is priority number one for me. And my responsibility to make sure that the needs are met, the attitude.
Do y'all think that soulmates are the right people?
What's your definition of a soulmate?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is. I ain't figured that one out yet. There is no definition. I can't find it in the West.
There's a made-up word.
That's a female word. That's an emotional word.
Yeah.
I don't believe no brothers going around talking about today. I found my soulmate.
I found my soulmate.
No. I ain't really that soul.
Wow. Nah, man. What is that?
A soulmate, really?
Yeah.
Be like that big commercial, huh? You my soulmate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unmanly thing.
Man, a chick came to me talking about a soulmate, man. Really?
Well, let me flip it around. Can two wrong people be compatible?
Yeah, I say yeah. I've seen some pretty horrendous disasters get together and make a beautiful marriage. I don't know how it worked, but it worked.
They find a way, don't they?
They find a way. I mean, the last person, like my cousin, was the last dude I ever thought would ever get married. This dude married going on 20 years, man.
That's good. But do you think that is great sex the key to real marital success?
No.
No?
No.
No. Why not?
No.
I'm not going to say great sex. I'm going to say consistency.
There you go. There you go.
I'm saying, let's just be honest, man. Sex is 51% of the marriage. I mean, let's be honest. We both got hard work. We got these kids to deal with, these bills to deal with. And our stress reliever is us in our room bumping and grinding with each other. That's our stress reliever.
Yeah, you got a point.
You know, there's only two ways you can get away with stress: yelling and arguing, or bumping and grinding in a marriage.
I don't understand. And, you know, I know the old school way, conventional wisdom, you're supposed to wait until you get married. But, man, if you get married and you don't have sex and then you wait till you get married and the sex is bad, that right there, I just don't understand how that works. I mean, maybe Andrew can explain it to me.
No. So, is it fixable, you think? Is bad sex in a marriage fixable?
Sure.
Yeah, it's fixable. Okay. Just like anything else, it needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think bad sex is compatible.
I think it's more about emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a marriage, it should be.
Yeah.
That bad sex can turn into emotionally good sex after you guys have gotten connected.
Mm-hmm. That passion come back,
and you'll make it work.
Right. And what you consider bad sex, if you have to go a couple of weeks or a few weeks or whatever your tolerance is without it, and you get it, I think you'll say you had some bang-up sex.
It'd be the best sex in the world.
Hey, look. What Eddie Murphy say when he was hungry and he got that cracker? That's the best cracker I've had.
The cocaine cracker, man. That was
cocaine cracker.
Yeah, that was a cracker I ever had, man.
But speaking of sex, I want to briefly take y'all back down memory lane for a moment. I want to take you back to your wedding day. And how beautiful your bride looked. Remember her makeup? Flawless. Her hair? Flawless. Her dress? Flawless. She even had a little twinkle in her eye. And of course you said, I do. Remember the lingerie that she wore on
your
honeymoon?
Yes.
Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, Lord. Underneath that dress, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Keep that image in your mind.
It's right there. You'd rather don't mess this up.
All right, keep that image in your mind, brother, because it's that time. Keep that image in your mind. I want to fast forward to today, May the 8th, 2012. Maybe she's gained a little weight.
Didn't he just say don't mess this up?
Maybe she regularly rocks a ponytail and sweatpants. Maybe the only time she gets dolled up is to go to work or to hang out with her girlfriends. Maybe she doesn't even wear that lingerie much anymore. Maybe she's not as adventurous in the bedroom anymore. Fellas, did you marry the wrong person?
Nah.
I took you back to your honeymoon, and you were like, yes, sir, yay. And now,
nah, I ain't married the wrong person.
Okay.
Except we just had a disagreement today.
2012, yeah.
Those things are fixable. Those things are manageable. You can, you know, and it's a definite inconvenience when you're dealing with those things, but it's manageable. You can work that.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those things that you call the deal breakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently a good friend of mine told me that his marriage felt like a prison. And I was like, does it have to be that way, fella? And most couples go through a stage of disillusionment, and that's when reality finally hits. Now, none of us are perfect, but some of us find that the way our wife is can grate on us and really make life difficult, as Brother Ike is telling us tonight. And unfortunately, when those feelings of love disappear, people lose hope. But do people not try hard enough in their marriage anymore?
I think so, and at the same time, I also think that it's also a lost cause. I think it's become very convenient once people do decide to get a divorce. This day and age, it's very convenient to get a divorce. It's easy. It's something that's widely accepted. It's not a big deal. You know, well, back in the day, if you was getting a divorce, you know, it was like, oh, it was almost like a funeral or something. You know, so I think society has made divorce much more easier to obtain. As far as how do you get to the point of divorce, that's up to the people involved, you know.
Yeah, I mean, some men might be thinking, you know, she isn't trying hard enough. You know, she must not be the right person. Or I need to work hard at convincing my wife to behave more like the right person. But what if a man believes that his wife is the one with the problem? How is the marriage going to work based on those feelings?
I don't think it can work. I mean, because if the wife got a problem, you know, me, I know with my issue that me and my wife going through right now, we both got a problem. No, I don't look at it as, well, she got the problem or I got the problem. Yeah, her problem is she talks too much. My problem is I don't want to hear her start nagging. So, yeah, we both got the problem. There you go.
But it takes a lot of time, energy, and patience when it comes to improving a marriage. But do y'all think that most people lack the cooperation from their spouse when it comes to marriage improvement?
Well, I think we all want cooperation. I mean, like the brother just said, you know, he said something very important when it comes to having a situation in your relationship. You know, he's not looking at it just as her. He's looking at it as, okay, I got some things also. So that means that situation is workable. When that individual is looking at it going, I ain't got nothing to do with this, it's all her, and that's all it's going to be, then it's going to always be a fight.
Yeah. It takes two to mess it up.
Right. Somebody got to say, okay, well, look, let's look at it in both ways. And, you know, I got a saying I say to my wife all the time, and she can't stand it. And I tell her, I say, put the shoe on the other foot. And if it hurts, don't put it back on that foot again. Because then she's forced to take that situation that she's either complaining about, upset about, or don't like, and look at it from the other person's point of view. And
yeah,
nine
like
times
that.
Out of ten, when she do that, it's like, oh, dang, I did do that.
Mm-hmm. I like that other person's point of view, brother. That's great words. And I got a slight monkey wrench.
Oh, Lord.
Here we go.
At 11:03, just listen to this clip really quick. 20 seconds.
Calling you up, sending you an email saying, look, I can get the tickets, a discount. I know somebody. I got it handled. We're going to the game Sunday. Get in the house or whatever. She's got the remote in her hand. You know, let's order some pizza. And thinks to a man, thinks like a man to the point where it's almost like you guys think alike in certain respect of the things that we like to do as men. Now, would that be an issue if you find her?
So what would your life be like if you married a woman that was just like you? Going back to that point of view, and the brother said, you know, she's ready on the couch, in the Lazy Boy, with the remote, ready for the... What if you married a woman that was just like you? Would she be the right person if she was just like you?
I don't think so.
No, man. We'd be both be 300 pounds. Man, sitting on the couch, scratching.
I don't think so. It's first thing first. One of us got to get up and go get the remote if it ain't right there with us. We both sitting there going, I'm not getting up, you get up.
Somebody might know the remote.
Oh, that's
well,
good.
That's the downside. I guess there's some good side to that, too, though.
Yeah, talk about it.
Right. Well, so, I mean, both of us like to travel. Both of us like to, you know, if we're both financially sound, obviously both of us can't be spenders, but if both of us are fiscally sound and you know, have the same goals and desires and dreams in mind, then, you know, we both like to exercise, if that's what it is, or whatever the case is. You know what I mean? If we like doing a whole lot of different things together, or, you know, cooking, I don't know, whatever it is. I mean, it could work out in your favor as well. You like spending time with family.
Here's one of the problems I see, because I have a buddy that him and his wife, I mean, were the epitome of just alike. Sometimes you can be too much alike. And that became an issue for them from time to time, because, you know, they both like to play pool. They both, everything they like to do, both of them like to do. And when he would say, hey, me and the fellas going to play pool, well, what about me? I like to play pool too.
Mm.
And it came to that point where it was like, okay, if she like everything you like, when do you get your alone time?
But at the same time, if you don't necessarily care for it a long time, and both of you, that's what I was saying earlier, if both of you like spending time together with one another to that point, where it's not a one or the other kind of thing. If both of you guys like spending time together, whether it's sitting on the couch, whether it's exercising together, whether it's playing golf together, whether it's, you know, traveling together, whatever the case is, then is that a problem?
That's not a problem, but every once in a while, everybody got to get away.
There you go.
I mean,
yeah.
If she right there everywhere you go, you're going to be like, can I get some man time? Can
right.
I get some?
I like to
golf. You golf. Why can't I go? But darn it, I just want to go myself sometimes. You know, it's like, I mean, it's not a problem. But every once in a while, you go hang out with your girls, let me hang out. Let me just get some me time for a few minutes, and then we come right back and handle business. And that's the difference.
Okay.
And as we get close to shutdown time here, I want to talk about divorce a little bit. Did your divorce actually help mold you to be the right person for your current marriage?
Yeah, I say mine did.
Anybody else?
Well, go ahead.
Anybody? Did your divorce help you to mold you to be the right person for your current marriage? No? Okay. Only I. Okay. All right, you're going to make it.
Well, I would say mine helped me to be a better listener, my divorce. and to be more attentive to what my wife needed, you know, my current wife needs, you know. And it also, my divorce also taught me to understand that, you know, it's not just her that's messing up. You know, it's also me also. There's, you know, I have my share of faults also, you know. And even though we're not clicking right now, personality conflicts do occur, and I am now better able to recognize that and, you know, get past it.
Mm-hmm. But with your first wife, Ike, weren't y'all unequally yoked?
It wasn't until we became unequally yoked that we did get a divorce. You know, as you know, it was a church or a series of churches that broke up my marriage with my first wife. You know, so we were, at one point we were equally yoked, but then she got her PhD in Christianity.
I was still in the
sixth grade, let her tell it, because I hadn't reached her point of divinity where she could, you know, she was able to, you know, I guess God was sharing with her his master plan, where someone like me on my lower level, I had no idea, so I was unworthy. So, you know, that's how we grew apart. It was over religion.
But if you were married to another believer, how can that be wrong? I don't understand.
Exactly.
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 Exactly, because my ex-wife at the time, she was, and Rod, I know I've talked to you about in depth, but my ex-wife was in a Christian cult, and she didn't recognize that. And if you're married to someone that's in a religious cult, and you can plainly see that it's a cult, you can look past the whole, you know, Jesus and God thing and, you know, all that speaking in tongues and be like, okay, this is a cult. You can clearly see that another person can't. Then that's where the equally yoked come into play. That's why I say, you know, we weren't equally yoked at the end, you know.
But fellas, can you force your wife to walk right with God, or is all you can do is live it out and invite her to do the same?
That's it. That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
I told you before, man, you can't force nobody to do anything.
Right.
Period. You can't. Because if you force them, that means they're going to be uncomfortable while they're in that transition, and it's doomed to fail.
You can state your case, and then you can lead by example. I got something really quick and funny to tell y'all. This couple of weekends, not this past weekend, weekend before that, I told my wife we joined the church. My wife said, no, we not going to do it this Sunday because my hair ain't done. And
That's real.
I got this cute dress I want to join a church, and I need to buy a dress to join a church. And me, you know, Eve tempted Adam. I said, okay, cool. Even though I know good, she was like, well, why we got to join today? I said, because God told me. She was like, okay, well, let's wait till next Sunday. I said, okay, that very Sunday, gentlemen, we were in an emergency room with our youngest daughter, laying on the examination table, getting examined by a doctor. She had a very bad allergic reaction to some cashews that I had given her. And my wife looked at me and said, you know, we should have went to church. And I said, you don't think. Okay, so that, you know, this past Sunday we joined church. But, you know, I had to, you know, I made the choice of allowing Eve to tempt me. And at the same time, I prayed the prayer and I said, well, you know what, God, even though we are being disobedient, I pray that whatever you let come to us, you know, no one will be hurt, you know, and there's no loss of life, you know. And, you know, he made it that way. And, you know, we could all laugh about it, but, you know, we did join the church. But that's just something that happened with me and my wife right there. You know, as far as trying to make her do something, I had to let her see the consequences.
Does having two Christians in a marriage actually seem like it makes married life harder?
I mean, it goes both ways. And I'm going to tell you why. Because it don't supposed to, but I got a buddy of mine who, matter of fact, he just texted me. not even 5 minutes ago. This brother was married to a woman who was a part, you know, who is a part of a church, and her family is like, you know how you go to the church and it'd be like families that are there that are, I guess, you know, quote unquote famous in that church. You know what I'm saying? Or you know, they're steadfast in that church or whatever the case may be. Okay, she's one of them. Okay. They got married. I was the best man like 9 years ago or whatever the case may be. Now, he joined the church, you know, before, you know, they got married or they even started dating or whatever the case. And they are now divorced. And not even 6 months later, she remarries again. You understand what I'm saying? So, in my opinion, from what he told me, what was going on inside that marriage is she would do things that were quote-unquote unchristian-like, but when he would go to work, because he used to work with me doing security before I became a truck driver, and, you know, that includes strip clubs, parties, at the Coliseum, whatever the case may be, you know, she didn't like the fact that he was doing that, but she liked the fact of the money that he was getting. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I mean, this is like one little small itty bitty thing, but it was, here you go, here is two Christians, you know what I'm saying, that got divorced because of irreconcilable differences. I mean, they can preach the Bible up and down, but you can know what's in the Bible, but if you ain't applying that to your life, then what's the point?
But B, didn't God make marriage until irreconcilable differences do you part?
Exactly. Exactly. So I look at it as both of them failed at the blessing that God gave them both. Both of them, they couldn't recognize what they already knew. And to me, that's, you know, that's being a hypocrite, in my opinion. And that's coming from both of them. You know what I'm saying? On both sides. I'm not going to agree with my brother because, you know, I'm his brother. You know what I'm saying? Both of y'all did wrong. Because both of y'all know the Bible up and down, but y'all are not applying it. Period.
But is marriage something that's supposed to make us happy?
I don't think marriage is a tool of happiness. I think happiness is a result of being married, but marriage don't just make you happy. Being able to live with yourself and knowing yourself and being able to coexist with someone else, yeah, that can bring you happiness, but that's not the purpose of marriage. Marriage is a team. It's almost like football. You know, you and your wife are a football team, and you know you all have your high points and your low points. You know, it can make you happy and it can make you cry at the same time.
But that's good words. And going back to the conventional wisdom, as we get close, I got to shut this thing down. Only got a few more questions left, fellas. Conventional wisdom insists that the right way for a marital couple is to work together, but that's unrealistic. And I think somebody touched on it before, that could the solution for marriage improvement be when an individual simply focuses on improving themselves? I mean, is it time to introduce a new marriage paradigm, you know, called the self-responsible spouse, to bring fulfillment to our relationships? And I think somebody touched on that before. I mean, bottom line, should you and your wife take responsibility for your own happiness, meeting your own needs and wants?
That's a good question.
I would have to say yes, because of the simple fact that, you know, no one has the power over you to an extent to make you get upset. You have to allow whatever that situation is to affect you. So if I seek not to argue with you, if I seek to have that peace of mind and knowing that, hey, I'm not going to fall into this, we're going to talk about this when there is no anger, when there is no heated moments, and that's just what it is, then that's what it's going to be. Because it takes two people to argue. And when one refuses not to argue, then eventually that person will get tired of arguing with themselves.
So you're saying that we should stop requesting a better wife and start bettering ourselves?
That's right. Because when you look at yourself, sometimes you'll figure out that it was some things that you could have done better.
Mm.
Now we're getting somewhere.
You know, it may have been nothing more than you didn't say that she looked beautiful today. Or you didn't tell her how nice she looked. Or you didn't appreciate the meal she cooked the way that she felt you should have. You know, and if we look at ourselves, we'll notice, well, these are some of the things that maybe I'm doing wrong.
I mean, with this self-responsibility, do y'all think that this crazy notion would apply to people who've been married a long time?
Sure, it applies to everyone. Absolutely applies to everyone. I mean, when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, in our own walk, I mean, there's certain things that you still individually have to do. You have to walk out or work out your own salvation, right, in fear and trembling. So the Bible says, Paul talks about killing his flesh daily. You have to take up your cross, right? Not you and your wife have to take up your cross, but individually, you know, you have to have a relationship. You have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, so forth and so on. I mean, there's some individual things that have to take place, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You individually have to take accountability, I would say. I think your wife has a responsibility within the relationship, but I think it's a difference between accountability and responsibility. You're accountable for yourself, and she's responsible, part of the responsibility of the marriage, and vice versa. She's accountable for herself, and you're part of the responsibility. You have a responsibility to the marriage, but you know, at the end of the day, the responsibility is on you, on bettering you.
And that's good words, and everybody comes with baggage, you know, mm-hmm. and I think we should just find someone who loves us enough to help us unpack.
Word.
You know, I mean, that's real talk, but I have got to shut this thing down, and it's going to get tight, you know, these last few minutes. Don't go anywhere, but I want to, as we get close here, talking about everybody marries the wrong person. Does God ever consider us to be the wrong person? Mm-hmm. It's going to get close. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. It's going to get worse.
I don't think that can happen. That
has to happen because we all got flaws. If we were perfect, then, you know, it'll be a different story, but nobody's perfect. We all come with a little luggage. We all have stuck in our ways in some ways that may affect the marriage.
Right, but I don't think he would, I mean, like you say, I don't think he would consider it to be the wrong person because he only created one perfect person.
Right.
So there's going to be some issues somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has fixed Adam's rule yet. We all fail.
Say that again?
So, a perfect person is going to make mistakes.
Yeah, and I got one more clip before I get you out of here, but it's going to get a little bit worse, but this is only 10 seconds.
Because the comment is he doesn't have a real relationship with God, he can never truly love. Point blank, period.
Is learning to love a process that requires a personal relationship with God? Requires a personal relationship with God.
In my view, yeah. Because Even for those who don't believe or have a problem with the faith, you know, I'll stop it right there because there is people that are like that in all beliefs or religions or whatever the case may be. Most of the time when you get married, you get a rabbi or a priest or you know, to bless this wedding or to do the honors. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So my opinion, I think so. I think so. You got to have that. Even if you receive your salvation after you get married, in most cases that might be. You know, both of y'all, the couple might not be in church or might not even have a personal relationship with God. But until years after they got married. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
it requires maturity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. You know, that's just my personal opinion on it. I mean, I have friends who are, you know, the atheist, whatever the case may be. You know, and I would ask them a question like, you know, when you get married, you know, how you going to have it? And, I'm going to have a priest and this and that. But if you don't believe in God, how are you having a priest to bless this ceremony?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Does it make sense? You know, when you try to outfit, when you try to figure out a problem, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. in your everyday life, or and you have tried everything and nothing works, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, and does the Bible ever tell us to find the one that God has chosen for us, or does it tell us how to live with the person that we have chosen?
Hmm. Yeah, but how do you know if God, if that person that you chosen was the one that God, you know, wanted you to be with?
Yeah, because, I mean, some people have asked, why doesn't God have a special person just for me? And it's because he already knows that his principles of love, acceptance, patience, forgiveness, they can work no matter who you're married to.
Mm-hmm. It's a principle.
Mm-hmm. And is the real key to a successful marriage, fellas, doing the right things rather than marrying the right person? I mean, is the reality that you didn't marry the wrong person, but that you've been treating your marriage wrong? Like the brother said, you're not watering your own grass. Mark Gunger, I don't know if y'all ever heard of him, but he's the senior pastor of Celebration Church in Wisconsin. And he's the CEO of Laugh Your Way America. He says that a successful marriage is not the result of marrying the right person, feeling the right emotions, thinking the right thoughts, or even praying the right prayers. It's about doing the right things.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's through the right actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because to say that I married the wrong person is being just a tad bit arrogant and judgmental.
Right.
And at the same time, it's trying to reflect or deflect, I should say, shift blame to someone else.
Mhm. That's good words. Where is Ike? Ike, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You might want to take a sip of Hennessy because I got a question for you.
I done drank all the Hennessy I had.
I got a question for you, bro, before you go. I know it's getting late. I only got two more questions, fellas. But, Ike, I know you had a bad day. We started talking about it before the show started, and, you know, it's been a rough one for you. But this is my question. Do you think that God wants to kill you?
I know that God is going to kill me or let me die for a better term.
No,
I don't know when.
I'm not talking about the physical you. I'm talking about the selfish you. You know,
selfish me.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't die to our selfish nature, will we ever be able to experience all the blessings that God has in store for us?
Yeah, definitely. God is definitely trying to eradicate the selfish me.
Yeah. Is it virtually impossible to succeed at marriage if you don't learn how to let the selfish part of you die?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, marriage is a constant game of sacrifice on both parties. And usually what we get into trouble is how we effectively communicate to our spouse our appreciation for their sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting way of phrasing that.
Rodney, you know, I asked my wife, you know, that question, and, you know, we were in the kitchen, and she said, Rodney, you can't say that. And I said that means I need to ask it just like that. She said that's too provocative. But I said that's yeah. But I mean it's real. I mean, we all can relate to that. But you know, as Ike was saying, you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to have a whole, you know, what do I get out of this mindset when it comes to our marriages?
Absolutely.
You know, if there was ever an institution designed to kill the selfish you and the selfish me, is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's real talk.
And that's that, you know, you talked about that love, and that's that different, that's that phileo love. That's not that agape, right? And that's the kind of love you can't
mm-hmm.
get without having God in your life. That
mm-hmm.
selfless, you know, unconditional kind
mm-hmm.
of love. And yeah, I think God wants us to, He wants us to freely give our life away, right? I mean, you know, with Christ, it's 11:30, so I can go there. With Christ being an example, and Christ says, no man takes my life, but I freely lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same mentality, same example that we are to follow in that spiritual killing of self, as you talk about, or what Paul was saying of killing his flesh daily. That's something he wants me to do, not something he wants to force me to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, Christ wasn't forced on. However, he knew that it couldn't get done, meaning us being reconciled back to the Father, unless he went to the cross. Unless, you know, that's the only way our sins was going to be forgiven. And so, you know, with us, the only way that we're going to be able to experience agape love, the only way we're going to be able to take responsibility for self and seek out God for his help and direction and assistance is that if we give our lives away freely, because he's not going to force it. He's already done everything he's going to do. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and that was it. Now, at this point, you got to open up your mouth. Go ahead.
Yeah, so do you think that couples should consider marriage as a training ground to help each of them become more Christ-like? I told you it's going to get worse.
But you know what? So I'll say no to make the answer easy. However, I will put this plug in there and say that, you know, in all things, like a master artist, they will put their stamp on everything. So you'll know it was them who created it. And God is the same way. And he wants us to look at everything that he's created, especially marriage in particular, because, you know, the family is the key to society as a whole. But so marriage, he wants us to be able to look at it and understand our relationship with him better. So it is there, the sanction of marriage is there for us to understand that, but I don't think you have to get married to get that understanding or that revelation. Go ask Paul.
Right. But people, you know, that are married and are in failing marriages, they need to understand, you know, the true meaning and purpose of marriage.
Right.
You know, and as we talked about, you know, deny the flesh, you know, you got to kill your selfish self.
Mm-hmm. And I know,
go ahead. I'm done. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, I know one girlfriend of mine from way back when, she, you know, that was one thing she always kind of said. She said, you know, back in the day, she was like, well, you know, before I get 30, you know, I got to get married. You know, I got to do this. I got to do that. The marriage is one of the things, right? She had to get married. And just because of that right there, even though I was young and immature, I at least had enough maturity in me to say, but that's not enough, good enough reason to get married. You know, or at least not for me anyway. You can go find somebody that you're going to do that with. But, you know, that sounds like a whole lot of headache and heartache.
Yeah. Good words. Good words. Final question of the night, fellas. We're going to bring it back full circle. Final question. Do you think that everybody marries the wrong person?
Nah. 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 Nah.
No?
I don't think everybody married the wrong person, man. You know what I'm saying?
14 years and strong. I'm good.
Anybody else? Do you think everybody marries the wrong person?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Everybody marries a person.
Hmm?
I'll say everyone marries a person.
Right.
Right. I don't think I can get a disagreement with that one.
That's right. That's right, Rodney. That's good. Well, folks, we've reached that time. It's that time. It's time for the conclusion right before open mic. Your favorite part, which you've all been waiting for, the conclusion. So what exactly does it mean to have married the wrong person? It means everybody goes wrong. It means everybody clings to unrealistic expectations about marriage. For most of us, misconceptions and myths about romantic relationships remain unquestioned. But healthy marriages develop as we manage personal expectations and reactions, focus on our wives' strengths, and choose to be both loving and lovable. Maybe the grass is looking greener, like Brother Andrew said earlier, or you just aren't happy in your marriage. But you will not find a single scripture that commands you to be happy in your marriage. However, I can find plenty that call you to honor your commitment that's also known as the marriage covenant. Even when you can't see the purpose in staying in what seems to be a miserable marriage, God is firm in his purpose for you. He has placed you in your marriage, kids or not, for such a time as this, for his purpose. Don't give up on the covenant you made with God to remain in your marriage. Understand that through the successes and failures in your marriage, God desires your obedience to him. If you have lost the feelings for your wife, pray for restoration and that God will bring back those feelings. The key is a desire to be obedient to him first, and then wait patiently for the feelings to be restored by God, not by you. But aren't you glad that God never left us because of all of our many failures? He loves us unconditionally, and he has yet to leave us for another person who seemed more right. While we were still active in our sin, he died for all of us. He showed us a level of commitment that has a permanent and unconditional meaning. But to any of you that are currently in a miserable marriage, I offer you my sympathy. But I cannot offer you a get-out-of-marriage-free card. God has placed you where you are, whether wrong or right, kids or not, to be the right person and to be obedient to God. Now, we're pretty deep into this discussion tonight, and I have yet to answer the question of whether a person can marry the wrong person or not. But the answer to this question, fellas, is totally irrelevant. It doesn't matter if you married the wrong person because God has called you to be the right person. In your marriage, God has placed a call on you to obey him in all the plans he has for you. Your purpose in your marriage is to strive towards obedience to him regardless of how you feel. Now, maybe some of y'all don't really understand what I just said, so let me answer the question another way. So did you marry the wrong person? Yes, you did. But embrace it and thank God for it. Your wife's wrongness is just right because God uses incompatibilities to produce godliness. Her wrongness and the apparent incompatibilities are the very things that God uses to mold and shape us. A few years down the road, you'll look back on all that you declared to be wrong about your wife and find that God was not wrong at all. He knew exactly what you needed. And I can relate to that, fellas, with firsthand experience. But regardless of the marital problems that you and your wife are having, with God's guidance and desire to make the marriage work, building a happy and successful marriage is indeed possible. God shows us the right way to love our wives. You can accept his teachings on marriage, or you can turn a deaf ear to it. However, the choice is totally up to you. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show brought to you by Married Men Don't Talk. We hope that you enjoy the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, www.householdstress.com. That website, again, householdstress.com, and also download our free Household Stress app from the Google Play Store for your Droid smartphone.
You are now free to move about the country.